Welcome to New Hope for Life. We're dedicated to helping you find your true meaning and value in God. No matter what life is throwing your way, our hope is that you begin to experience the power and victory in God's Word. Pastor Colin Grigg will show you how you can overcome your circumstances and gain the victory as God intended. With more than 30 years of ministry experience, Pastor Colin has served both as a local pastor and international conference speaker, and by God's grace, has helped many people find new hope to deal with the very real challenges that arise in our everyday lives. Now for today's message with Pastor Colin Grigg.
Everything in our Christianity depends on our mind, okay? What you think is where you will go. So be careful what thoughts you entertain, saints. Seriously. It's the pivotal point. And I haven't got it. I quoted one before and said I haven't got it here today, and here it was the next scripture. But, you know, Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Saints, we've got to be careful what we watch on TV.
Yes.
Okay? What you allow to come in the portals of your mind and spirit, because it can change your thinking. A lot of people, I mean, in the world today, the TV is their Bible. You know, when I was running for the federal election, not the last one, the one before, I had some of those magnetic things on the side of the car, you know, with my picture, and saying vote for me. So, and the lady next door, she said, "Oh, I've noticed you've got these signs on the side of your car. What have you got signs on the side of your car for?" And I said, "Oh, because I'm running in the election." "Oh, why are you running in the election?" "Because the government's corrupt, and because, you know, I want to see change, and I want to bring blessing and help people." And she said, "The government's not corrupt." It was like, how dare you touch the Holy Grail? They're there to protect us. They look after us. And I said, "Well, love, you need to have a look. You need to study what's going on in the world." I didn't tell her to take her head out of the sand because I didn't want to be too rude. but that's what I was trying to say. And I was astounded that she just
believed
everything the government said. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to test the spirits. Yep. It's true. I'm not trying to be rude or disparaging. I'm just talking fact. And so Philippians 4:8 talks about your mind, and it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything that's praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So guard your mind, saints. Guard what you allow through your head. An old saying, I've said it to a couple of you this weekend, you know, we can't stop the birds flying over our head, but we can stop them building a nest in our hair.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so the thoughts will come into your mind, but you need to be alert enough that when those thoughts come in, you go, "You're not coming in here," because I'll tell you something. If you let that thought take place in your mind, it goes down into your spirit. Yeah. I'm going to tell you two things that have been proven scientifically. We have a conscious mind and we have a subconscious mind. The conscious mind has the power to accept and reject. Okay? The subconscious mind only has the ability to accept, okay? So whatever your conscious mind accepts, your subconscious mind accepts, okay? So it goes, that's the difference between your conscious mind and your heart, what we call your heart, which is, you know, and, you know, people talk scientifically about the belly, you know, I felt it in my gut, you know, and say, well, there is an intelligence that we have that way. And we're discovering still more about the intelligence that we have. They say we only use 10% of our brain. Imagine if we could just fathom it completely. Hallelujah. But I want to also tell you that the subconscious mind runs everything. It keeps your heart pumping. It keeps you breathing when you're asleep. It's taking care of the division of your cells. Guess how many cells they reckon, scientists reckon you have in your body? Any guesses? Anyone game enough? What was that?
Heaps.
That's a good answer, isn't it? Praise God. Scientists estimate 37 trillion.
What?
Now, I know they don't know because I didn't count. I mean, who's counted that far? But they just guesstimate 37 trillion. But when you think about it, how small a cell is, and yet your subconscious mind, it develops all of those things. Your conscious mind can take 2,000 pieces of information a second. Okay? It's pretty incredible, isn't it? That's your conscious mind. Guess what your subconscious mind can do? 4 billion. 4 billion, because it's got a lot of work to do. It's got to run your heart and run your blood and run all of those things. Breathing, regeneration of cells, regeneration of things, your thoughts, all those kinds of things. So we need to watch what we think, because when we let it in, it will take root in us and it will become something that controls your life. And it's a lot harder to get out at that point. It's easier to just shoo the birds away when they come through your mind and have that sort of consciousness. Okay, praise God. So what is good and what is evil? In Genesis 3, 1 to 6, if you can go to that with me, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, or else you will die.' And then the serpent said to the woman, 'You'll not surely die. God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it, of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her and he ate." So what I want to point out here is the devil does three things, and these are the only things that he uses today, and yet we keep falling for it. The first thing he does is he questions what God said. Has God said? Okay. And then he goes on to say to the woman in verse 4, he calls God a liar. He says, "You won't die." Okay. And then he says in verse 5, he said he calls God jealous of what he's got, because he said, "God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will know, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So God's jealous and he doesn't want you to know that. And so Satan will question the word in us, okay, in 2025. And should Jesus tarry until that time, at least. And he's going to be saying, "Has God said?" What we need to do is say, "Listen, shut up, go away. God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Amen. And not toy with the other things, because the woman was tempted by the fruit. Now, we call it an apple. They don't really know, of course, but it was some fruit. But it brought the curse, and God told them not to eat of that fruit. God condemned that tree. He said, "The day you eat of that fruit, you will die. So don't touch it." Now, what was it called? This is interesting. Can anyone tell me what the name of that tree was? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. God rejected it, right? Agree? Okay, be careful. I'm going to catch you here. There's two types of good. There's a good that God's rejected, and there's the good of God. Amen? Can you see that? You're a bit quiet there. You sure?
Yeah.
He's kind of looking around. There's nothing good that comes out of the flesh. No. I've been preaching that all weekend. Yes. There's nothing good that comes out of the flesh. So we need to be careful that what we deem as good is God's good and not our good. Yes. Okay? You got me? It's important. Because we'll think something's a good idea in the flesh and then we'll go and try it and it'll crash. And then we'll blame God. But it's like, was it God's idea or was it your idea? Because we have a spirit that knows good and evil, but it's not a good and evil. It's not a good, okay? The evil's evil, of course. But this is the trap that we can get caught in, getting sucked into the flesh. Anyway, let's go on. I'm coming to the end. So Deuteronomy 28:1 says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth." Hallelujah. Isn't that a great verse?
Yeah.
If you listen, this is in the Old Testament. This is in the time of the law. God's saying, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. The Holy Spirit's been around since God's been around, because he is God. Amen?
Amen.
To observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. And I read this something like this last night. And I talk about commandments. And to me, a commandment is something that you have to do in order to get God. And number one, as we know, when you get saved, what did you do? You submitted to God. You admitted that you couldn't do it, and God was the one that you had to rely on, okay? You came to the end of yourself, but you still have to submit to God. But you don't just submit that one time. You submit every day of your life. Hallelujah. You bow to him every day of your life, because we know that we've been failures. I know I'm a failure. I know I can't do it myself, but I am so glad that I've got God. Because I've got an unfair advantage over everyone who doesn't. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So his commandments are to bring us into life. You can't hear the Spirit of God unless you listen, and that takes discipline. Amen?
Yes.
I've already said that, I know. But it's worth saying again. And so if you do that, he will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Saints, we've got to realize how much blessing we're missing out on because we doubt God. God is alive and he wants to bless us. Hallelujah. Pastor Jeff quoted that verse this morning that I love from Psalm 37, verse 4. If you delight yourself in the Lord, and I'm selfish, you didn't say this next bit. This shows I'm selfish and you're not, okay? But it says he will give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Are you hearing me, saints? Are we getting through there somewhere? We need to accept the word of God, and we need to take the blessing. I just read that verse from Deuteronomy 11:21, and it talks about, you know, if you serve the Lord, your days will be like heaven on earth. Hallelujah. And that's what we've got. Amen?
Yes.
You see, we've been groomed out of this. We've been trained out of this. We watch too much news. You know, the news is the most satanic program on TV. I watch it because I want to know what the devil's up to.
Yes, that's right.
But I yell at the TV all the time and say it's a load of rubbish, you know. What we're being sold today, saints, is socialism. And we need to be careful of it because it's antichrist. It's antichrist. We need to have discerning. We need to understand. And I've read even today a couple of verses already where it's God's warning us to be careful of false teachings. Be careful of false prophets. John 7:17-18. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. See, you know, when someone is saying something, when you know the Spirit of God and someone says something that's not of God, you'll get a kind of an uncomfortable feeling. And I've learned that when I get that uncomfortable feeling, I can rely on that. I can know that God is not in what's being said. Now, I don't always judge it immediately, but I get a caution and I think, hang on, I'm not going to do anything or make any decisions until I figure this thing out. But I'm telling you, nearly every time, in fact, every time that happens, something comes out that shows me that it's not God at all. And so we need to be careful of that. And so if you know God, Jesus is talking here. He says, if anyone's will is to do God's will, is that your will today?
Yes.
To do God's will? Okay. Then he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. Verse 18 says, the one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who has sent him is true, and in him there's no falsehood. I'm telling you, if here's just another consequence of serving God, you will never be ashamed. You will never be ashamed. If you're following the leading of the Spirit of God, you will never be ashamed. Praise God. I've got a couple of posters here. It says, God's serious about how we worship him, and we must be serious about it too. Amen?
Yes.
Couple of memes. Anytime you get serious about using your life the way God wants you to use it, there are going to be people who don't like it. I mean, you all know that. Okay. I'm a serious Christian. I take my faith seriously. I try to practice it every day of the week and not just on Sunday. Hallelujah. You've heard that one probably 100 million times. Whether it's the big picture of God that is distorted or the little tidbits of him that have been twisted over the years, we need to make sure that our definition of God is in line with Scripture. Amen. See, we have acquiesced. We've moved off the line. We've compromised. Come on, let's be honest, eh? The church has compromised. You know, we need to get serious about being at church. We need to get serious about worshiping God. We need to, you know, there was a day when I was a young Christian when if friends come to stay at my house for a weekend, you know, you'd say, I'm going to church. Do you want to come with me? And they'd either say yes or no, of course. But if they say no, what do? Do you stay home because you got guests? No, you don't. The witness to them is, okay, I'm going to church. Help yourself. You know, make yourself home. I'll be back after lunch. I'll be back for lunch or something or whatever. And but I'm going to church. And you're showing your dedication to God. We've got to stop trying to be like the world to win the world. You won't win the world by being like the world. Amen. You'll win the world by bringing a contrast. And walking in the Spirit with Jesus is bringing that contrast. Hallelujah. So, you know, my next heading here is, what about you? Okay, so right now I want to aim these scriptures back at you. And I told you that I probably had this scripture further on about the mind, but I'm reading Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says, I beseech you. Now, beseeching is really beg. The best interpretation is Paul's saying here, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Now, I told you last night that, you know, I came to a point, you know, I was kind of afraid that, you know, I was going to get my head chopped off and all those things at one point in my life. It was holding me back from being fully committed to God. And I used to say, I'm 99.99% God. And God say, that's not enough. I want 100%. So I got to a point where I said, Lord, you know, I don't want to die. Sorry, I got to a point where he said to me that he wasn't gonna let me die. He was going to protect me. And I'm sort of going, when he said, I want you to do something harder. This is for those who weren't here last night. But I said, what's that, Lord? And he said, I want you to live dead. And here it is here in Romans 12:1, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I quoted this a moment ago, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So just keeping your mind right and keeping your thoughts right and getting up and turning that satanic box off occasionally instead of sitting there in front of it all the time. And look, I watch TV, okay, but I watch TV by choice. I watch what I want to watch and I don't watch what I don't want to watch. I don't just let it play on and go on and continue to let it soak in. We need to be very partial about what we watch and what we allow ourselves You know, and some people have said to me, oh, you know, I'm a mature Christian, I can watch anything. No, you can't. You always have the eyes are a portal, your ears are a portal. Satan wants to deceive you. Jesus even said, if it's possible, the very elect will be deceived. And so we need to remember that. That's in, I think it's Matthew 24, 24, but someone check me on that. Joshua 1:8-9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Who's in charge of your prosperity? You. You. Are you going to be blessed of God? That's up to you. It's not up to your wife or your husband. It's up to you. You know, God doesn't have grandchildren. I like that saying. Because you got to know God yourself. You don't know God through your relatives. You know God. If you know God, you know him yourself. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
And one of our sons said to us one time, he was working with us in the church, and he said, I've just got to go, Dad, and find God for myself because I'm living it vicariously through you. I was so grateful that he said that because I didn't know that. But now he's serving God himself with his own heart. Hallelujah. Another son of those three that I have went to another church. It hurt a little bit, but they had to find their own place. Amen? And someone said to me one day, and I hold on to that because it really is true, said, well, you've raised independent children, and they think for themselves, and that's fantastic. You've done a great job.
You've been listening to New Hope for Life. For a copy of today's message or series, visit www.newhopeforlife.org.au to download them directly from our media page. Are you wondering what it means to be in a personal relationship with God? We would love to offer you a free pack including a CD message from Pastor Colin Grigg and information on how to become connected to God. Simply visit our website and request the information pack or contact us with any questions you may have at newhopeforlife.org.au. You can also write to us at New Hope for Life, P.O. Box 79, Swansea, New South Wales, 22281. New Hope for Life is a faith-based ministry relying on the gracious support of our listeners. If you would like to support this ministry in our efforts to spread the truth of God's Word, please visit newhopeforlife.org.au and click on the support button. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you can be with us again next time when we present another edition of New Hope for Life.